We're going to look at Isaiah, Isaiahu, chapter 28. This is one of the great chapters in the Old Testament. Last week we looked at the cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. You know that the cornerstone is what, it doesn't hold the building up, but it's the foundation stone, or the first stone that's laid, or the chief stone, or the most important stone, because everything, every stone in the building, which is us, every stone in the building, everything on earth, natural, spiritual, material, everything, has to be lined up with that one stone, with that first stone. However you lay the first stone, every stone has to be perfectly aligned with that stone. So God carefully laid this cornerstone before there was a world. There wasn't anything. And He just laid that is established, that is instituted, that is constituted, the whole world, with that one stone, which is Jesus Christ, His Son, Son of God, Son of Man. And He would be the only hope, the only measurement for everything that we think and say and do and want and feel and so on. So this would be the key to the whole universe. And so that stone was laid in Zion. And that was the only place you could go to find that stone. Of course, you can't find it. It has to be revealed to you. It's a hidden stone, and yet it's the most important stone. Did you know foundations are usually hidden? You can't see them. You don't go drive by and go, "Oh, what a foundation that house has." Nobody does. Or when they build a foundation, people go and marvel at it. "Wow, look at this foundation. It's incredible." People are more interested in the building, but God is more interested in the foundation. Because the foundation determines whether that building will last through the storm, through the flood, through the wind. Without that foundation, and a thing that has a weak foundation will just fall apart in the first storm. So your life, if you were wise, you would build your house upon a rock rather than sand. Sand is okay as long as there's no storms. There's no need if you build your life on yourself, or you build your life on your neighbor, or you build your life on something frivolous and vain and foolish. There's no problem as long as there isn't any storm, any test. But there is a storm and there is a test, and that's why God commends you not to be a fool, not to be vain, not to be evil, and then do it your own way, because it won't work. How many know you build a marriage on the wrong foundation, it's not going to work. And your foundation is not your mate. And it's certainly not you. So you have to build it on good news. You have to build it on something better. And good news is only good if there's bad news. So that now you need the good news. It looks like it's all going to fall apart. Not necessarily, it depends on your foundation. If you have the right foundation, you can shake it and kick it and beat it and so on. It doesn't have any impact because the foundation is firm. So many people in Texas have little trailers and they're not guy wired down into the earth. So a storm comes along, poof, just blows them right over. This tin just goes right over. That's it. And the reason wasn't that you didn't pay for it. The reason was it not strong enough to last through a storm. A tornado can just tear it apart. But let's say you build a strong house. Well, that won't last either. Bricks and wood and metal and what, that can just fly off too. But let's say your foundation is in the earth. That won't fly away. The tornadoes never tear up the foundations. So your foundation is so solid, so strong for your family, for your church, for your life, for your business, for everything that relates to you. And God cares for you. And God, did you know God's in charge, even of storms, even of winds? It's just that when the wind comes, He warns you about it. Oh, wind is coming, storm is coming. How many know that every life has a storm? Every life. And so you won't escape the storms. And even now, the world doesn't want any storms. It's like, hey, could you just God, could you just help out a little bit? He won't do it. Because this is time for the end. And he's shaking everything that can be shaken. So I'm not going to be shaken. I won't be shaken. Why? I got a foundation. And I'm tied to it. When we were little kids, you know, we used to play games. And you could always run to this certain spot and say, Kings, you know, whatever that meant. And that meant nobody could touch you. Safe, you know, and you could just, did anybody play those games? I don't know, they don't play those games anymore, I guess, but when we were little kids, they did. And you could run and somebody could tag you unless you touched the thing. Kings, you know, or maybe you had to stop, you know, and they couldn't touch you then. So it's just like that. Touch Jesus, it's over. All you got to do is get to Jesus. He's the King. He's the King. He's the King. You touch the King. He runs everything. He owns everything. He has everything. He guides everything. He's the King. And the King gets his way. How many know that the King can do no wrong? Well, we know earthly kings do wrong. But the real King won't do anything wrong. And so it says the King will do no wrong. In other words, as soon as the King does wrong, he's not a king. That's what it's saying. As soon as a king does wrong, he's a tyrant. They don't call him a king any longer. When King George III began to, you know, punish us over here in the colonies, we just eliminated him because he wasn't a king anymore. He says, you're not a king, you're a tyrant. In other words, we have a deal. We behave only if you behave. But if you break your word to us and you don't protect us and you don't bless us and you begin to curse us, you're no longer a king. So they just kicked him out. Do you know that's how the revolution took place? We didn't rebel, he did. The king was the first one to rebel. Too bad for him, he's not a king. We didn't kill a king. We didn't get rid of a king. We got rid of a guy that wasn't a king, because a king can do no wrong. I know that doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. So, if you're a believer, you can't do wrong. That's me, Pastor. I can do no wrong. Now, how many know that you do? So in the moment that you do, the Holy Spirit comes along, knocks on your, you know, hello, you're doing wrong. How many know that you have a conscience, but you also have the Holy Spirit? Everybody has the conscience, but only we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds you, you're not lined up perfectly right there, what you just said, or the way you said it. A little worry there. I saw your heart was quivering, you know. And only the Holy Spirit can see the heart. Did you know that your conscience cannot see your heart? So your conscience reaches the soul, but it's not going to reach into the heart. Only God judges the heart. Only God judges the heart. Only God knows your heart. So he knows whether your heart is pure or not. You don't. You can't check it. Yeah, my heart. I think my heart's pure. Oh, you can hear the conscience, but the conscience itself can't reach deep into the heart. Only God can give you a new heart. If you have an old heart, how many know that everybody's born with an old heart? You know, and it produces dead works. And so no matter how beautiful your works are, they're dead. In the eyes of God, they're dead. In the eyes of men, they may be impressive. But in the eyes of God, they're dead. Now, I want to share today out of the 28th chapter of Isaiah. I want to share my whole theology. My whole theology, it's always been, never have changed, never will change. It's as old as the hills. But it's a mystery to so many people. And I can tell people are goofing up because they don't know this simple truth, that there's two hands. One hand is the left hand, one hand is the right hand. Left hand, right hand. Everybody got that? So God has two hands. God has two hands. And he never mixes them up. He never gets confused as to which hand is which. So his right hand is always his spiritual hand. His left hand is always his not spiritual or natural hand or governmental hand or financial hand or whatever else. Everything pertaining to this world belongs over here. All mankind is subject to God's left hand. Now, you're not going to like this, but there's judgment in this hand. If you don't do right, you're under the law, the natural law of God's justice thing. And you got to do it right or else. If you eat of the tree, you're out. If you sin even one time, you're out. That hand has got no mercy in it. Law has no mercy. Law doesn't have even an ounce of mercy. I mean, if you speed over the limit, and only the policeman knows what exactly that is, sometimes it's 15 miles over, sometimes it's only 4 or 5, you know, you never know. So it's kind of up to his discretion to check you out on that. I always go toward the 15 over. And, you know, I play right on the edge until I see, you know, a vehicle. Then I slow down. And I watch other cars, too. I watch their lights on the other side of the road and all that. Now everybody has lights on all the time, so you can't do that. So you have to blink them or something. But the law has no mercy in it. And not only that, it has no power to help you be good. The law is just, you know, it's a wonderful thing for law. But this left-hand thing doesn't help you because it says, be perfect, but it never forgives you if you're not, and it never helps you if you need some help. Whereas the right hand, it's all mercy, it's all power. Yeah. Whatever you need. You need some help? God's got it. You need some mercy? God's got it. At any time you want. So this is the left hand, it's called the law. This is the right hand, it's called the gospel. So God's two hands, he never mixes them up. As always, you have to preach the law so that you condemn the flesh, but you always preach the gospel so that you purify the spirit. And so through the right hand cometh the spirit, which is not written in the natural law. It's not in nature. There's no spirit in nature. Or your natural spirit is dead. It doesn't have anything. Remember Adam and Eve, they goofed up. That was because under the left hand, that's all they had. They didn't have any gospel. Under the left hand, it said, you know, don't eat of the tree. You can eat of all the trees except this one. And the reason he did that was to make it clear that if you want to worship God, then don't, you can eat of all the trees, but don't eat of that one, that particular one right there. In other words, when it comes to knowing what's good and evil, check it out with mom and dad. Always check it out with your heavenly father. Can I have this? Is this okay if I do this? Is this all right? You know, he said, oh yeah, you can eat of all the trees, except this one right here. That means always come to me when you want to know something. How many know that that's the knowledge of good and evil? You don't get to decide when you're a little kid what good is. Hey, you're hitting her. You stop that. You see, that wasn't good. But to the little kid, that was good. I hit her because she hit me first. See, to a little kid, they can justify it. Why did you bite her? I said, because she kicked me. See, little kids have it all figured out. But you made a goof up. You goofed. Uh-oh. You're not supposed to take matters in your own hands. I know my kids never understood it, that if the little one, the smallest one in the house, oh, by the way, we had a baby yesterday, number 10. Yeah. That not our baby, but our oldest daughter's 8th child. So that was good. So now we got 10.
Well, she named him.
Hasn't yet.
Yes,
uh-huh. Oh, yeah, okay, sir.
I'm sorry.
What's your name, Greg?
Daniel Alexander.
Pretty.
Wow.
Daniel Alexander. I wanted it to be James, but what do I get?
Oh, well.
I shouldn't have taught about that. Means cheater thing. James means cheater, so she wouldn't. I said, well, why don't you name him my name? James, Jim. That means cheater, Dad. You told us that. No. I said, well, we all are. She didn't like that. She doesn't want a cheater. because I am, by nature. Under the left hand, I'd be condemned. But under the right hand, I'm saved. Did you know that the right hand is only for the left hand? In other words, the whole purpose of the right hand is to redeem whatever's not making it in the left hand. So if you see someone not making it, if they can't be perfect, how many know that none of us are? Unless you're a pastor, you can't be perfect. No, that was not true. So pastors are not perfect either. Nobody's perfect. The Pope, pastors, Saint Teresa, whatever. They're all just sinners. Everybody's just a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So left hand is here, but right hand is here. Now, this is not the teaching. I'm just giving you a little background of my whole theology. Is you always preach the law to condemn the flesh. In other words, don't think you know everything. Don't think you know what right and wrong is. Don't ever take matters in your own hands. You don't know what you're doing. Oh, I used to teach my children. I was telling you about my children. I used to teach them that, let's say your older brother comes along in the family room and he hits you in the head. You know how older brothers would just come along and whack you right in the head. Now that actually is a love hit from an older brother. But to a little girl, that's not a love hit at all. And Margaret would always scream at him, "Why'd you do that?" You know, and then kick him or something. And then I would spank her. "Dad, he hit me." "Yes, yes, I know. But remember the rule in the house. When something goes wrong, you come to me or you go to Mom. And we take care of it." "Well, he hit me." Did you see how she didn't want to obey a sinner? Did you see how I raised a sinner? And so I would discipline her. And then, of course, David would feel good about that because he was the one that just lightly brushed over her head as far as he was concerned. But to her, it was a whack, and it hurt. And so she had a right to kick him. "How many know vengeance is mine, saith the Lord?" Aww. And so Mom and I were to deal with it, and David would have gotten a spanking for that. Unless he would have apologized and said, "Margaret, that was wrong of me," and get on his knees and ask her forgiveness. Y'all see that? Because she loved him. She still loves him. All my kids love each other. They're great kids. So I would always spank her, and David, he never caught on to it. He was going to get it next, but he didn't know that. And so as he's laughing or, you know, feeling good about it, "Yep, she goofed up." Then he would get it. "Dad, what? Because you hit her." "I didn't. I just went like this." "Well, you hit her." And that was her interpretation was not, it was a love pat. Her interpretation was different, and I agree with her interpretation. So I'm spanking her because she didn't come to me. She tried to know good and evil without me. That's God. Y'all see that? I wasn't interested in my kids not slapping each other. I was interested in them learning the gospel. Did y'all see that? I was interested in learning the law so then they could learn the gospel. The only reason, now listen carefully now. The only reason you give a law is so you can give the gospel. The only reason you give a law is so you can give the gospel. In other words, he punishes you in order to forgive you. He punishes you in order to forgive you. Get this down. If you could get this down, it would help you. It's big. The reason that God disciplines and punishes and tells people not to do something is not so they can go to heaven or hell. The reason he does that is so that when you say, "Forgive me, I'm guilty," then he says, "No, you're forgiven. It's over with." And then he not only forgives you, but he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Did you know that's how you learn? You learn, now this is called the way of the just. This is called the path of the just. You start with the law, you end up with the gospel. You start with the law, you end up with the gospel. You go from the left to the right. You go from the left to the right. So you always start with the law. And so I gave my kids laws. You can't do this, you can't do that, so on. But the biggest law that I gave them was always do what I say. That was about it. Just, you know, don't worry about all the laws. Just do what I say. Make it simple. Well, they couldn't do that. For some reason, they kept goofing up. And I gave them that law so that then if they said to me, "Dad, I did what you just said. I didn't do what you said. I did it wrong. Forgive me." I would forgive them. Because I wasn't interested in them behaving. I didn't care about their behavior. I wasn't interested in their behavior. I was interested in them learning the gospel, the mercy, that I'm a loving father. And all I want you to do is do what I say, but if you don't do what I say, then ask for mercy, and if you ask for mercy, you get it. Now, I want to show you something in 33rd chapter, 19th verse, in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible. What does God say? This is what he said. "Moses, what do you want?" "Well, I want you to show me your glory." I can't. "If you saw my glory, you'd be wiped away because you got sin in you. If I showed you my glory, I'd have to destroy sin under my left hand." Remember, Moses is a lawman. Remember that? He's left-hand guy. He's left-hand guy. He's not Abraham, right-hand guy. He's Moses, left-hand guy. So he's going to show you the law of God. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. And so there, I'm going to get it. Because I can't be perfect like you. Little kids are always frustrated when they see their parents doing something. They can't do it. They just can't do it. And little kids are always frustrated because they can't live up to their parents' expectations. Hello? So I always made mine real high. And I always told them, now you do it just the way I did it. Dad, I can't do it. And then often they would go to Mom and, Mom, could you do it for me? Ah, see, that's the right hand. That's the mercy. Mom, I know I didn't do it, but I want to go out and play right now. Did you clean your room? No. Under the left hand, you see, you can't go out until you clean your room. But under the right hand, you can go out and play. Because you ask your mom, Mom, please, Alice is outside waiting for me. And Alice is important when you're 3 years old or four. They're waiting for me outside. I said you have to clean your room. You didn't do it. I tried. I just couldn't do it. Could you do it for me, Mom? And moms always help out, don't they? I mean, good moms. A good mom will always, yes, okay, you can go out. Now, you shouldn't say, but don't tell your father. That's not good, because that's this hand over here. But don't tell your father, because he'll be mad. No. We didn't do that in our family. We never had that. When your dad gets home, you'll get a spanking. We didn't do it that way. I would always tell Peg, don't worry about it. They can sin 50 times a day. But if let's say they tell a lie, they're going to lie again. So you don't have to catch them every time. Just catch them every once in a while and give them a spanking. Because you're just teaching them a concept. How many know when you tell a child not to lie, they're going to lie? Is everybody aware of that? Don't you tell a lie. What did you do that or not? You know, if you do that, a little kid is not wanting a spanking, so they're just going to say, no. That's all. That's the way little kids are. Is anybody familiar with little kids? I don't care if they're just 1 and a half or 2, they'll lie. Did you eat that cookie? Remember the one I told you not to eat on the table? It's gone. Where is it? What are these crumbs? No. And they just flat lie. And the crumbs are all over their face, and you know there's evidence everywhere, and the parent can catch them easy. But I always told Peg, unless it's really obvious, don't catch them. Because you can always catch them later. And if they lie, they'll lie again, so I'll get another chance to get them later. Now we know that liars are liars. So if a child's going to lie, and they all do, you're going to get them later. So you don't have to spank them every single time, because a mother would never stop spanking. You know what I'm saying? I mean, see, that's like, you know, Dad said no candy, you're not eating candy. That was one of my rules, which I knew they would break. It didn't bother me that they would break it, because then I could show them mercy. But for Mom, it was like a law. So you do that. Daddy, Jake candy. Spank her right now. So I didn't. I would take them back in the back and say, now, did you eat the candy? And if they lied, I'd spank them. But if they told the truth, yes, Dad, I did. Okay, do you want me to spank you, or do you want mercy because you've learned your lesson? Oh, mercy. I've learned my lesson. Now, of course, they're lying again. They just don't want the spanking. Do y'all see that? But I'm not teaching them how to obey. I'm teaching them how to know that your father and your mother love you and have mercy for you. Do y'all see that? So the left hand, even with God, his left hand is real. It's true. But he's got a right hand to save anybody who goofs up under the left hand. So the reason why he judges the whole earth, there is judgment, is so that he can show mercy. Now, since you're not familiar with that, I went back all the way to Exodus 33:19. Listen to it carefully. Watch carefully. God says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Moses said, hey, could you show me your glory? I mean, if you're going to ask us to do all this nonsense, be the light to the Gentiles and all that stuff, could you please show me your glory? God says, I can't. In fact, I'm not even going to go up with you. You guys sin so much. No. If you don't go with us, we're not going to have anything. So the presence of God is not the law side of God. The presence of God is the mercy side of God. In other words, the reason why he still loves Israel to this day is not because she doesn't sin. Law. It's because he wants to show her mercy. And so the reason why he tells her not to sin, and I'm gonna treat you worse than any other nation because you're my people, my chosen people. In other words, you're older than your, you know, than others. You're the older brother or sister or whatever. I'm gonna expect more out of you because I chose you and I trained you. Isn't that amazing? The reason is because God, when he disciplines us, it's for our good. I never spanked my children because I was mad. I always spanked them for their own good. In other words, the reason for judgment is hope. In other words, the reason I said don't go out in the street is so a truck doesn't run you over. In other words, all I'm saying is that every law that God has ever given is always for your good. If he says don't commit adultery, he means don't. If he says don't kill, he means don't. If he's, you know, whatever he says, it's always for your good. It's not like, ah, fooey, why can't I do it? It doesn't bring happiness. Now, how many know we all goof up under the left hand? I don't care what God tells you not to do, you'll do it. Now, even if you don't do it outwardly, you'll do it inwardly. You wish you could do it. You'll even envy people that do it and seem to get away with it. Has anybody noticed that? Why does he get to do that? And then he still gets to go to heaven because of Jesus thing. Makes people mad who are good. How many here have been good? You've tried to be good. You've tried to be good. It doesn't work. I'll just tell you right now, whenever God gives a law, you can't do it. I'm going to say it again. He's never given a law that anyone could keep. Listen to it. Be perfect as I'm perfect. How many know that? How can you do what God thinks is good? I don't even know what good is. I thought good was getting my way. I thought good was kicking you when you hit me. I mean, I don't know what good is. I mean, little kids have to always ask their parents, can I wear this shirt? No, take that off. A little kid has to ask because he's little. And so you can't expect a little kid to know what to wear. He'll wear just some crummy old thing. Hey, take that shirt off. You're going to church. We wear white shirts on Sunday or whatever. And so parents get to decide everything. And little kids resent that after a while. I want to wear this shirt. That's a little kid. I want to wear it. Bob is wearing his. So a little kid will make up anything to do what he wants. How many know that everybody's selfish? You're just born that way. Now, God didn't create you that way, but you fixed it so that you were that way. And now everybody is that way. Everybody's selfish. Everybody's selfish. Everybody's selfish. Everybody has an evil heart, a vain soul, and a foolish life. Everybody, 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 everybody. Even those that are lying about it. Even those that are pretending to be good, thinking to themselves that they're good, they're actually lying. And God's going to catch you sooner or later. How many know that there's nobody that's perfect? Nobody. Everybody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, if I'm going to jump all the way to that wall. No, I didn't make it. So all he's saying is nobody's perfect. You can't get to wherever it is you think you're going to get. So you learn in life that you're not as smart as you think you are, you're not as good as you think you are, and you're not as powerful as you think you are. That's what you learn in life. And every once in a while, someone will say something like this, "God, am I stupid or what?" Yes. Or, "I guess I can't do that." Correct. Or, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. That's right. So you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, and you're not strong enough to be perfect. So everybody, and I'm going to tell you, the whole world is into left hand. The whole world's into left hand. They're all trying to behave, and it doesn't work. So half of the world just disobeys. The other half looks down on those that disobey. Did you know that's a fun game to play in life? I'm better than you are. I did it right. You did it wrong. Teacher likes me, not you. And so the whole of life is half of the people don't do it right. The other half do it right and judge those that don't. Are you all aware of that? So God comes along in the left hand and says, you have to be perfect. But on the right hand, he's waiting to say, but if you're not, ask mercy and power. And I will make you right. In other words, you can't do it. That's why Moses said, God, if you go with us, then there'll be hope. If you don't go with us, we don't have any hope. We can't keep ourselves. How many have learned in life already? You're already old enough to learn in life that it ain't easy to be perfect. It's just not easy to be good all the time. Because sooner or later you're going to get angry. Sooner or later you're going to get jealous. Sooner or later you're going to get envious. Sooner or later you're going to get whatever. How many have learned that? Everybody learned that? Yeah, that's a good lesson. That's a good lesson to learn, is that you're not God. You're not good. You're not smart. You're not strong. You're not what you ought to be. You are what you are. And what you are is a little bit less than what you ought to be. How many know that you've... Have you figured out there's always a gap between what I ought to be and what I really am? And so people, they don't like that. It's, you know, they get mad. People get irked. But here's what God said. Moses, here's the deal. I said, be perfect as I am perfect. However, and he said this in the 33rd chapter, 19th verse. At any time I want, I can forgive a sinner. I can show mercy anytime I want to. Now there's two, there's several words for mercy, but two of the main words are chesed, which is not this one. This one is not chesed, but it's similar. In other words, God's loving kindness always says, I get the right, even if the child has done wrong, to forgive them. And God reserves that. He said, now you have to do right what I told you, don't eat of the tree, and if you do, you're dead. However, anytime I want to, I can forgive anybody I want to. Wow, what a prerogative. What a royal prerogative God has kept or reserved to himself. Anytime I want to, as father of this house, I can show mercy. Isn't that amazing? In other words, even if you've done wrong, even if you do everything I said not to do, and we always do, even if you do everything that I said not to do, and you don't do any of the things that I said to do, and we always do, even if... I can still show mercy anytime I want to. And all you got to do is come and say, God, you know what? I'm guilty, but you love me and don't forget it. And I'm asking for mercy, and then I'm asking for help. Help out a little bit here. I can't do the stupid things you've asked me to do. I'm sorry I said stupid. And you know, if you do, if you say that, God's okay. All he wanted you to do is to confess and say, you know what? I'm not perfect. You know what? I didn't do what God wanted. You know what? My heart wasn't in it. I did it outwardly, but inwardly my heart wasn't in it. God is not mad at anybody. Did you know that God hates nobody? Is everybody aware of that? I don't care what you've read in the Bible. God doesn't want the death of any sinner, including Esau. I know people bring that up. Including Pharaoh. I know they bring that up. I don't care what it says. God said, I don't desire the death of any sinner. I take no pleasure in the death of any sinner. If you're a sinner, get saved. I got a left hand, but I got a right hand too. And the right hand is more powerful than the left hand. In other words, God's mercy is greater than God's judgment. In other words, mercy can triumph over judgment. Mercy can triumph over judgment. How many need a little mercy? Every once in a while. Every once in a while, you just need it. You're not always aware that you need it all the time, but at least every once in a while you are. Like, God, help out here. Criminy, God. Look, I goofed up again. And he loves it when you admit that. Most Christians don't like admitting that they're wicked. Well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I know you're a Christian, but only in your heart. Your soul stinketh. Living with you is hell. Did you know that people that are hard on others are always hard on themselves first? I'm going to say that again. People that are hard on us or hard on others are always hard on themselves first. So don't be mad at people that are hard on you. That means they're hard on themselves way more than they're hard on you. So you just forgive them. Because they know not what they do. So God is not hard on anybody. He doesn't want anybody to labor, to work. Remember Jesus came down and said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. Learn of me. Why? Because I don't. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. How many know that Jesus doesn't want you to lift a finger to either forgive yourself or to change yourself? He wants to do it all. All you come to God and say, I'm guilty. Left hand produces guilt. Left hand produces guilt. Okay, I'm going to say it again now. If you exist, actually I never said this before, but if you exist, if you are a person, then you have a personality to shape and change, Okay? I exist, therefore I can make my person whatever I want it to be. That's called my essence. If I have existence, I get to choose my essence. And therefore you choose, okay, I'm going to be a sinner. Or, okay, I'm going to be a phony and pretend like I'm a Christian. You can do it. You can do anything you want to do. But God will see through it. Because the only choice you really have is to be a sinner. I mean, are there all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God? All of sin and small short of all of sin. I mean, I didn't say it. God said it. He wrote down the book. He wrote down everybody's sins. And the only reason that he said that is to make you guilty so that the whole world may be guilty, so that everybody's equal to everybody. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're not better than Muslims. We're not better than witchcraft people. We're not better than Satan worshippers. We're not better than prostitutes. We're not better than homosexuals. We're not better than anybody. We are all alike. Isn't that amazing? Y'all realize that? But you know what? One of the sins you have is, I'm not like that. Thank God I'm not like that. Yeah, but you are. I'm not. Well, you know, but God's going to catch you because God's got really, 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 really good eyes to see right through all your stuff. Did you know that he actually can read your heart? You can't. You don't even know what's in your heart. He says, out of the heart cometh. You know what comes out of the heart? Murder, adultery, etc., all bad stuff. So that's your heart. He didn't give you that heart. You made your heart like that. That is your choice. Remember Adam and Eve ate of that apple when he said not to and so on. So God says, look, my whole reason for giving the law is not so that you'd keep it. I never expected anyone to keep it. I gave a law that you couldn't keep. It's my law. I keep it. I gave the law so I could show you mercy when you said I didn't do it. So the purpose of the law is to make you guilty. Okay, I said, if you exist, you are a person. Many people do not exist, and they are not persons. Many people do not exist. In other words, they don't want to be themselves. They want to be somebody else that doesn't exist. They want to be what they ought to be rather than what they are. Many people have never become themselves because they don't like themselves. So they become what they're not. And they actually believe themselves, they believe their own PR, that they are what they ought to be rather than they are what they are. So if you're a person, that's because you exist. And if you exist, then as a person you get to choose. And when you choose, you can make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, you can be guilty. And when you're guilty, you're going to be punished. That's the left hand. Everybody's born that way. Everybody has existence, but you can deny it. You can say, I'm not what I am, I am what I ought to be. Okay, that's just a game and a trick you just played. You're not going to get away with it. Because if you marry somebody who is what they ought to be, you'll find out after a while that they'll be what they really are. I don't know if anybody's ever married anybody like that. If you marry someone that is perfect, who's wonderful, you'll find out that they're not. And you'll bring it out. And they'll hate you for it. Which kind of ruins their perfect part. Has anybody ever married somebody that wasn't perfect? Well, that's actually your only choice is imperfect, 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 imperfect. I'll choose you. They're all imperfect. But the problem is the reason why you pick somebody who's imperfect is because you yourself are imperfect. It isn't just because that's all that's available, which that is all that's available. But that isn't the reason. The reason is that you yourself are a sinner and you marry a sinner. Everybody marries sinners. So there is no such thing as I want the perfect mate. There isn't one. Isn't that sad? There aren't any. And if you marry somebody that imagines that they're perfect, there's going to be a disillusionment somewhere. First on the part of the one that married that person that imagines that they're perfect, and second on the one that is perfect, which they're not. Because nobody is. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short. So if you're all means like kind of all. All. I think all means all. All. Like all. Like everyone. Without exception. So how many can say, you know what, Pastor? That used to be me. Go ahead, say it. That used to be me. I used to be wicked beyond measure. And I had an evil heart. I had a vain soul and a foolish life. But now that I'm a Christian, I have a brand new heart. And that's about it. But you don't have yet a new soul, and you don't yet have a new body. And people don't see your heart, they only see your body. And the body is totally going to come out of your soul. So if you're a Christian in your heart, but you're not a Christian yet in your soul, because your soul ain't dead to this world, then your soul still belongs to this world. Even though you're a Christian, even though you love Jesus, even though you believe in Jesus, that's not enough to make you perfect on the outside. You have a new heart. Nobody's arguing about that. Okay, fine, you have a new heart because you believe in Jesus. But do you have a new soul which is happy all the time? I mean 100% of the time. You see, you haven't been through enough chastening yet. You haven't been through enough storms yet. You haven't been through enough punishments yet. You need some more of that. And so you should pray that. God, whatever it takes, send me through the threshing machine. I need to be beat up. I need to be pressed to the nth degree because I can't get rid of these sins. I don't think I even want to, but even if I did want to, I don't know that I could do it. I just need your help. Beat me to a pulp until I'm not me any longer, until I'm the me you want me to be, not the me I ought to be, but the me you want me to be, which is even better than the me I ought to be. Are you understanding me? Because you can't get rid of a sin. Does anybody here have a sin? You still have one? Does anybody here still have a sin? They call it besetting sin. It keeps besetting you. Get away. Even though you have a new heart, even though you don't want that sin, it just is right there. Self-pity, anger, bitterness, fear, etc. Anybody got one of those? Anybody? Two people? Three? Four? Yeah, everybody. Everybody. I don't care who you are. You've got a fear or a worry or an anger or an envy or something or other. You got something, and maybe you even have two. I've met some people who had two sins. Major. Has anybody here had two? I knew I would hit somebody. Anybody got three? Has anybody got three major sins? Fear, jealousy, envy, bitterness. You got three? Oh, my God. Three. That's a lot. Well, do you know what? Everybody. Every day you have to get rid of fear, envy, anger, lust, self-pity, doubt, etc. Did you know that every day you got to do it again? Even though you have a new heart. Even though you have a new heart and want to be a good Christian, that doesn't mean you're going to be. So God's left hand is still part of the gospel. Even though it itself is not the gospel, it drives you to the gospel. You need his left hand. You really need to come every day, and I do this every day. Every day I go to Mount Sinai first. Why would I go to the cross if I don't have a need for the cross? So I always go to Mount Sinai. God, if there be any wicked way in me, and I'm not sure there is, but if just in case there is any wicked way in me, expose me. Show it to me. And so, you know, there I am. And God will show me something that I wasn't expecting. Yeah, you were cold this morning in your prayer time. See, it wasn't so much that you committed adultery, but you were cold. You weren't as passionate as you were yesterday. Yeah, that's a sin. Let me know that that's a sin. Not in the heart. It doesn't come from the heart. But it's in the soul. Myself, every once in a while, gets bored with God. Anybody like that? Yeah. God, do I have to read that stupid thing again today? You know, I don't want to. It just bothers me. I just as soon just live like hell for a while and then I'll go to church. Has anybody ever done that? Yeah. You know what? That's what we all do it. Every once in a while, you get cold. You just get cold toward God. God, I'm not that fervent today for you. Stop worrying about that. That's God's problem. Turn it over to God. God, I'm sure I'm guilty. Take care of it. I'm just going to go off and have a good time. Thanks. How many know you can do that? I mean, is that not powerful? But you have to understand these two hands. The purpose of this hand is only to get this hand. So, hey, I need every day to see this hand because that makes me get closer and closer to Jesus with this hand. Jesus, need mercy again. Again. I know this is the seventh time today. I need it again. And hang on, I may need it again. And you can ask God all day long for mercy. But after a while, you just pray a prayer like this. God, I don't even know what all my stuff is. Take care of it. God. It's just kind of like it's all in the truck somewhere. Just you take care of it.
Right.
And you don't have to actually see every specific sin. How many know that would wear you out? Mm-hmm. God, I don't want to look at every... Because I don't think I'll grow if I keep looking at my sins. I think the way I'll grow is beholding you. And I want to see you in your mercy, not in your law. Because that ticks me off. When I look at that thing, I always got one. I always got something I goofed up on. And I don't want to dwell on that because that would make me depressed. I mean, that would make you depressed to see all your sins all the time. Nevertheless, some of them pop out every once in a while. Because if you have a friend or you have a neighbor or you have a pastor, they might bring out some sin you have. How many know that that'll just come out? It'll just come out. So, since God has a left hand, I want you to begin to like being chastened by God and not count it as, God, deliver me! Don't try to get rid of it. Just look at it. That's you. Not me. Yeah, it is. So, any sin in the book you could commit. Are you aware of that? Any sin in the book. You could commit any sin in the book. So, why? Because all you have to do is be off the target. All you got to do is sin. You know what the word for sin is in the Bible? Missing the mark. It's just, here's the straight way right here, and I'll go to a little bit to the left, go a little bit to the right. You've sinned. So sin is just not being perfect. That's all. Sin is just not knowing God. Sin is just not being in love with God all the time. Sin is just being separated from God. Sin isn't so much committing adultery or lying or cheating or stealing. Sin is just, you know, any old thing. Anything that's not perfect. In other words, are you always happy? That's a sin if you're not. Remember it says in the Bible, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. If you don't rejoice even for a second, you're in sin. You know, that'll make you mad that, you know, you can't not sin. Did you know that you can't not sin? You're going to sin. You're going to sin. Not from the heart, from the soul. And because I know that, I dwell on Jesus all the time. Now, let's look at this scripture here in the 28th chapter, now that you know how God operates. God is not at all impressed with you helping him out on any of this stuff. He'll take care of all of it. Last time we looked at verse 16, now I want to jump down to 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth, left hand, as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work. The Lord will rise up that he may do his work, his strange work. That word is zar, Z-A-R, zar in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew language, strange means alien. You know, someone who doesn't belong, someone who's not a citizen here. So, God will do a strange, alien, foreign work. A green card, you know, person. Or a person who's just here on a visa or something. God will do his strange work. In other words, his strange work is it the left hand or the right hand? Which hand do you think is his strange work?
Right.
Yeah, this is the strange work. This is the foreign work, the alien work. No, it's had nothing to do with you. It just has to do with God whenever he wants to. He can show mercy. And if he wants to, he can show it to sinners. And since that's all he's got, he only shows it to sinners. You have to be a sinner to get God's mercy. If you're not a sinner, you don't need it. It's only for people that need it, which are sinners. That's why Jesus said, I came not for the righteous. Anybody that thinks they're righteous, I didn't come for them. So the Jewish people were thinking, hey, we've kept the law. And Jesus was like, no, you haven't. So I didn't come for you. Since you think you're righteous, I didn't come for you. You're not going to like what I have to say. Because I'm going to judge what you're doing, not by judging you. You're already judged by Moses. Your problem is not Jesus. Your problem is not me. Your problem is Moses. You don't ever want to believe in Moses. And you claim to believe in Moses, but you never believed in Moses. Because if you did, you'd be guilty. Every mouth would be stopped. So the purpose of the law, and we still preach it, the purpose of the law is not to condemn you, it's to condemn your flesh so that he can forgive you and then build your spirit, and then you don't need the law. Because Jesus is the law. Jesus kept the law. Jesus, did you know that Jesus is the only one that can keep God's law? You can't keep it. Even if you've got a new heart, you still, that just is your heart. Even if you will wanted to do it, that's still just you wanting to do it. It doesn't mean you did it. How many know that you at times are not perfect and you're aware of it? Now don't go, devil, get out of here. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. That's just you. There are times when you just say stuff that didn't come from the devil. Why blame the devil for everything? You just did it. I only know that sometimes you're just sharp with people. Well, right now I'm busy. You're just sharp with people. How many know that Jesus wouldn't have said that? Well, I'm busy right now. He would never have done that. But sometimes you're just impatient. How many get impatient with the fact that sometimes you're impatient? You get angry at the fact that sometimes you get angry. You get afraid of the fact that sometimes you're afraid. Okay, don't worry about all that stuff. Let that all go. But you need to understand that God is dealing with all that, and He just wants you to come before Him and say, God, I don't even care what sins you've shown me or not shown me. I know I'm guilty somewhere, but could you do what you said, just show me mercy and give me favor every moment of every second of my life? That's all. And God is pleased with you because you believe that Jesus was your righteousness and you don't have any. Even when you're a Christian, it's still not you doing it. It's only Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's only Christ in you. It's no longer I that live. It's no longer I. Stop talking about you. It's not you. It's not you being bad or good. It's no longer I that live, but Christ, right hand, liveth in me. His whole point of coming to earth was to stay in us forever. To find a girl, fall in love with her, and say, you're my girl from now on. And I want to take care of you. Don't lift a finger. Don't do anything, sweetheart. I'll take care of you. How many know that's a guy thing? A guy thing is to always take care of the girl. And so that's the way God does it. God always blames, you know, he always blames nobody. He doesn't even blame Satan. He always just simply says, doesn't make a difference. I don't care who did it. I don't care why you did it. I know why you did it. I know who did it. I just want to show mercy to you. And then I want to give you everything I have. I want to restore you to my perfect fellowship all the time in all places. So, here's what he says. I want to do my work, my strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Okay? Now, the second word for strange act, remember strange work, strange act. The first word is zar, the second word is nokri. Now, two different Hebrew words for strange. Now, forget what the difference is. The point is, they're both outside of you. They're not part of you. So when God does His strange work, that means His right hand, which you're not used to. You're used to this left hand. Everybody knows there's a God. Everybody has a conscience. Everybody feels guilty. Everybody tries to behave themselves and so on. But it doesn't work. Even wicked people try to behave themselves. If you were in prison and everybody was wicked in there, there would be one guy, big guy, Bubba, who would be there, and he wants everybody to do what he wants them to do. And since he's Bubba, they do it. But the truth is, even Bubba believes that there's right and wrong. If you do what Bubba says, it's right. If you don't do what Bubba says, it's wrong. He doesn't care about killing you or raping you or whatever, but he believes he is the law. So he believes in law too. There's not a person on earth that doesn't have a conscience that says, you know what, if you do it my way, I'll reward you, and if you don't, I'll punish you. Everybody believes in that. So there isn't anybody that's wicked and anybody that's nice. Everybody is nasty. Everybody selfish. Everybody. And everybody, on the other hand, knows they're wrong, and therefore they're guilty, even Bubba. And when Bubba gets saved, he cries like a baby and accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And then goes out and compels everybody in the prison to come into his Bible study. Now, I'm not making this up. We have a man in Fort Worth who's dead now. And he got saved in our ministry. And he had murdered 13 people. And so he went up for the fourth time, and you know, three times a year out in Texas. But he went up for the fourth time, and he said, "Oh my God, they got me again, and now I'm a Christian." I said, "Well, don't worry about it." He said, "Well, it's three strikes and you're out, and I've already had three, and now this is my fourth." I said, "Hey, you'll be out in no time." He said, "You can't get out." I said, "Sure can. You can. I'll tell you the secret. When you go into the prison, be blind. Don't see what you see. Be deaf. Don't hear what you hear. Be dumb. Don't say what you want to say. Shut your mouth. Be an ordinary person. You'll be out in no time." "That's stupid," he said. He was on the other side of the glass, so he couldn't hit me. But he was on the other side of the glass. So he later, when he got out, he said to me, "I hated you that day." Because you told me, because he's always used to carrying a piece on him. He's always used to being able to, he had tattoos all over him, so I killed this kind of people, and it was all over his body. Because he was a killer. He was a hitman. You would pay him a lot of money to go about to, you know, Los Angeles. He told me all the things he did. So God wants us to know that if you just be an ordinary person, let Jesus take care of it. So he didn't see what he saw, but he had Bubba upstairs. Bubba was 350 pounds, one of the biggest guys in the prison, and he was one of the smallest guys in the prison, even though he was a murderer. And when he grew up under Bonnie and Clyde, you heard of Bonnie and Clyde? Well, Bonnie Parker lived next door to his grandmother, who ran the still in the Bonnie and Parker story. That was his grandmother. And so he saw murder after murder out in his backyard all the time, because she was the one that the Sheriff Dallas would go and visit when he wanted to booze it up. And all of the wealthy people down here, he knew every one of them, because he would carry prostitutes to them, and so on and so on. So he knew the underworld and the upper world are similar. Are you all aware of that? So he then would watch all this, and when he was 8 years old, his mother threw him out. She was a prostitute. Threw him out. And his father, who was in federal pen, would visit him every once in a while and do mean and nasty things to him when he would see him. And so he had no family. And so he grew up on the streets. He just grew up, you know, in a gang. When he got saved, Bubba was on the upper bunk, and he said to Bubba, could you hit the lower bunk, and I want to be in the upper bunk? No. And Bubba's 350 pounds, so you don't want to argue with him. So he said, okay. So he's laying down in the lower bunk, and Bubba's, you know, big guy. And all of a sudden, he gets up, and he starts to pray for Bubba. Because he's mad at him, but he remembered he had to be an ordinary person, don't notice things. So he starts praying for him. And Bubba says, "Shut up, you know, stop that." He said, and he said to him, "You get down here right now. Face me like a man." Bubba was, you know, just got down. See, what are you talking about? What are you doing? And pretty soon, within minutes, he got him saved. And Bubba went out and forced everybody in the whole floor to come into his room for Bible study from that moment on. That was powerful. That's a true story. God can change anybody at any time. And Bubba, who was the strongest, toughest, meanest guy, actually became soft before the Lord. The right hand can completely forgive and change anybody under the left hand. So what God is saying here is he has a strange work, an alien work, that is not, you're not familiar to it because it's not his left hand, it's his right hand. And here's what he says in the next chapter, which I'm going to cheat and go forward just a little bit here. Wherefore, verse 13, we'll get to this next time. The Lord said, "For as much as this people," the Jewish people, "draw near to me with their mouth, but their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." In other words, they talk a good talk, but they're not walking it. "And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." It's not real. "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work." Palah. The Hebrew word for palah means it's a work that when God does it, because it's from his right hand, will be so marvelous that people will marvel. It'll be like a wonder. And they'll just be like, like that. Do you know that's what happened in Jesus' ministry? Wherever he went, whatever he did, if he healed somebody, if he taught something, whatever he taught, they said, this guy's different. This guy's not like our Pharisees. It's not like our religious leaders. This one is different. He does a marvelous work, a strange work, an alien work, a work that is gospel-oriented. In other words, God is a good, a loving Father. Did you know that your Heavenly Father is not an angry judge that has a law to condemn you? Doesn't want you to behave. Doesn't want you to be good. How many here have not been good? How many here have not been good? Perfect. You haven't been perfect. Okay. He never wanted you to be. Never expected you to be. The reason he told you to be is so that you would say, I can't. I didn't. I won't. Forgive me. Now, you can't ask him for forgiveness until he offers it. If the king doesn't bring his right hand out, you can't ask for his mercy because he didn't offer it. So at any time he can, he holds it. He holds it in abeyance. He has it behind his back. At any time, you can enter into the king's presence, and if he wants to, he can show you mercy, and you're a sinner. Remember Queen Esther when she came into the king's presence and the law said, don't ever come into his presence without being invited. And if you do, the gods will kill you instantly. Unless the king stretches forth his scepter and slants it in your direction, then you have mercy. Then he's basically saying, even though you came in uninvited, even though under the law you're guilty, even though you should be dead, even though you deserve death, I'm going to listen to you. I want to hear what you have to say. And Esther did not come in pride. She did not come, you know, as though I'm a wonderful person and so on. She came saying, you know, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to speak to the king the truth, even if it gets me in trouble. And she told him, you know, hey, I want you to come and I'm going to throw a banquet for you. He went, ah, I'm glad I put that scepter toward you, a banquet. So he invited his best friend. Hey, Haman, we got a banquet thrown for us. This is God's strange work. Haman is thinking, I'm going to be exalted. The queen likes me, and I'm the only guy. King plus me. That's cool. I've made it right to the top. Now, what he didn't know was the queen was going to throw another banquet. Because he said, the king said, okay, I'm at your banquet thing. Good wine, everything's perfect. What is it you really want now? Tell me what's on your heart. What is it you want? I know you want something. What? She said, okay, I want you to come to another banquet. So he comes to another banquet. And she said, at that banquet, I will tell you exactly what I want. So then, at that banquet, she said, this Haman, he is out to kill us Jews. The king didn't know she was Jewish. Didn't know anything about it. But Haman had gotten a law passed that if you were Jewish, you should be killed on a certain day. And this is now the festival of all of Israel, which is Purim, the throwing of dice. So this Purim is now a certain time that all Jews celebrate because they should have died under the law. But because of Queen Esther's faithfulness, the king gave her favor and mercy, showed her mercy and favor. Right hand. All of your life is totally dependent on the right hand of God, not the left hand. Under the law, you're all guilty. Everybody's guilty here. So what? We're just like everybody else. So what? Even if you have a new heart, so what? You still don't have a new soul. I tell you, there's nobody with a new soul. Even if your soul is perfect for a few minutes, it won't be 10 minutes later when you look back and think, my soul was pure. You'll be proud that you were humble. Which makes you proud, which makes you not humble. So you can't be proud of being humble. How many know that pride is pride is pride is pride is pride? And sooner or later, you're going to sin again. How many know that you will sin again even if you were righteous for 5 minutes today? In your heart, you're always perfect. But in your soul, it's up and down, up and down, up and down. But any moment, you might break out and everyone will be shocked that you said that or did that. And even you, I can't believe I said that. Don't be surprised. That's just the left-hand stuff. Don't worry about it. You're not under the law. You're under the gospel. You're not under God's left hand. You're under his right hand forever. Why? Because God has done a strange work, an alien work, the gospel, to redeem everybody forever. Everybody. Nobody is exempt because it's only for sinners. It only comes to people that have sinned. So if you don't have any sin, you don't need it. But you do. Not in your heart. I know that. You're all believers. But that doesn't mean your soul is clean and pure. So therefore, don't be arrogant and proud that you're a Christian and other people are not, and you look down on them and judge them and despise them. Stop. Bubba still needs to be saved. Bubba's still out there. And he's that ripe. It's just you. He said, Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, but it's the laborers that are few. In other words, you need to know that you know better than anybody else, even if you're a Christian, even if you're 20 years a Christian, even if you're a pastor, even if you're whatever. No, no. There is no such thing as, you know, you don't still need the law. You still need the law. The law now doesn't condemn you. It describes you. I'm never afraid of the law. Why? Because what can the law do? I've rendered it good news. I've made the law good news. You know why? The Bible says the law is good. So how can God's law go away, which basically says be like God? So it's never going to go away, but now it describes me. Now instead of it saying, thou shalt not lie, steal, cheat, whatever, it now says, thou shalt not. It turned from a command into a promise. It turned from the left hand into the right hand. It got perfectly fulfilled. Think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. In other words, I turn every command against you into a promise for you. Why? Because your righteousness is me. I am your righteousness. I am your salvation. I am your hope. I am your joy. I am your peace forever and ever and ever and ever. And you can have that today. That you're never again ashamed. You're never again frightened. You're never again in envy of somebody. You're never again. Now you will feel envy, so what? Who cares what you feel? Or you'll think, you know, gee, I wish I had what they had. Who cares what you think? Who cares what you feel? Who cares what you want? God's law is greater. And here's his law. It's no longer the law of sin and death. It's now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set you free. You're free. Everybody here is free. Everybody here is free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say you're sorry. You don't have to do anything. All you need to do is come before God and say, give me the good part. You know, I need the good part. That's all. You don't earn it. I've read my Bible 3 days in a row. It doesn't matter. I've memorized Psalm 23. Doesn't make any difference. I got your Bible. I bought 4 Bibles. I got one in the car, one in the bathroom, so on and so on. He doesn't care. There's nothing you can do to earn this. It's just a free gift. Bubba can become a Christian in 3 minutes. You can turn from anger to immediate peace. You can go from one way of life to another. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If God's not God, then don't serve him. If Baal is God, serve Baal. But God is God. And he loves you just the way you are. I hope someone was blessed today. I don't need to reach everybody. You know, you may use this 10 years from now. But somebody today, no doubt, was touched.